straight out of Austin, Texas. It's On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com, with your hosts, Statesman sports columnists Cedric Golden and Kirk Bowles. Often imitated, never duplicated. Hear it here first, On Second Thought.
On Second Thought, episode 133, brought to you by Hook'em.com and our friends at Bud Light. My name is Cedric Golden. The Duck, Kirk Bowles, is in Augusta at the Masters. He's on a tiger chase, but in his stead, we have friend of the podcast, probably the de facto third host of this show, Brian Davis, in the Bud Light studio. What's up, BD?
What's up, Cedric? Good to be here. Good. I tell you what, very nervous moving from the lieutenant chair to, you know, first co-pilot.
Yeah, the consigliere is out. You want to be a captain. You need to be a
no,
captain.
No, you're the captain.
I guess I'm the captain, and I guess he's Tennille. Kirk is Tennille.
Or that or you're Kareem in this airplane reference.
I could be either one. You try dragging Will Chamberlain up and down the court
exactly.
for 60 minutes
exactly.
a night. But here's my thing, man. We got a lot to talk about. Football season, spring football game is Saturday.
Wow.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Not because I'm looking forward to the game. I'm looking forward to the end of the game, big boy. I'm not a fan of spring football. I know it's a necessary evil. But if we're talking about what Tom Herman's concerns are about the spring, what would you think would be the first two?
Well, from a concern standpoint, I think you would have to say I think he wanted to see that defensive line get rebuilt. And from what everything we've heard, it's been okay. Not great, but okay. I think it's a little bit concerning that he has talked about the second team O-line several times, especially after the scrimmage again this past Saturday. And the thing is that they are not looking for five more linemen. They need probably eight total, right?
They need two or three more.
Yeah, exactly. And so, but for the fact that he expressed that as a concern is an issue, you know, I know on the surface it would sound bad that Brandon Jones is down, Caden Stearns down, B.J. Foster was down for a little bit with a concussion, Brew McCoy down for a couple of practices. But everything that we've heard said so far has been kind of normal bumps and bruises. Colin Johnson, another guy who didn't practice this spring after having his knee scoped, right? So there has not been a single player yet, other than DeGabriel Floyd, that we have heard will miss the 2019 season. And Floyd, a freshman linebacker, has spinal stenosis. It's hoped that he can return for the 2020 season. But other than that, all systems go health-wise.
Yeah, Keandre Coburn.
Keandre Coburn, exactly.
He's out, but all systems go, and at the end of the day, BD, channeling my inner inner Chris Nelson, that's his favorite term, but at the end of the day.
That is true.
At the end of the day, these little nicks and bruises are happening in the spring.
Right.
You don't want them. You don't want Colin Johnson running around with a sore knee in August. This is spring football. This is just a little piece of primer. This is not something that's going to make or break this team. He knows he's got a winning locker room. He's got good leadership in that locker room with Sam Ehlinger and Colin Johnson. But the one area, when you mentioned the D-line, the one area that kind of concerns me still, linebacker. You got, in the Big 12, you got to be able to cover. You got to be able to, in a pinch, get to a quarterback. But when you lose an Anthony Wheeler, And when you lose Gary Johnson, who ran great at the combine, when you lose guys like that, it's a lot to ask these other cats like Jeffrey McCulloch to step up. I loved what he said to us during the interview session, how he's ready to go hunt. He's hungry, but can he meet that challenge for 12 weeks out of a year? That's the question.
Along with Osai, along with the Deyoye.
Caleb Johnson.
I mean, these are guys that inside Moncrief, they're excited about them, but they're just unproven at this point. And, you know, I keep going back to this time last year. There's not a single person that would have said Charles Domenihu was going to be defensive lineman of the year.
I wouldn't have picked that.
Not one person.
Not after the Kansas game.
Right. And so, So it, I wonder if it's sort of the same thing at linebacker, at some of these other positions. I think that Taquan Graham is going to be a guy that we are talking about.
As a
potential star.
He's a man.
Next year. I think Osai is going to be a breakout guy. You know, we've seen McCulloch. He had the huge interception return at Kansas, right? So it's not that these guys can't play. It's just they have not done it yet on the University of Texas stage. And so that will come this fall.
Malcolm Roach has to step up. They lose their edge rusher. They lose Charlie O. Mm-hmm. They lose whatever Breckenhager gave them. Two tackles a game. They lose that. Is Malcolm Roach ready
to be a superstar
after all of the injuries? Is he ready? He jumped off the screen at the Sugar Bowl, had a couple of nice plays. Is he ready to be a full-time guy? Because don't you get the feeling that Malcolm Roach, we've been waiting around for 4 years for Malcolm Roach to blow up, and he still hasn't. And is it a thing of injuries? Is it a thing of he had to wait his turn because there's some studs playing in front of him? Or is this just who Malcolm Roach is, dog?
I mean, there's no doubt he flashes at certain moments. But I think what you're getting at is his consistency or lack thereof.
Lack of consistency.
Right? Exactly. And when you look at Malcolm Roach, here's a guy who is probably going to be a team captain this year coming up. He has 34 career games and a little over 90 tackles, but said what stood out to me when I looked at his career stat line a couple days ago, only 5 sacks.
Not enough.
I believe. That's not enough.
Sacks are impact, BD.
Absolutely. But again, at the same time, Omenihu didn't have many stats this past year. He didn't. And so, you know, Texas, and especially this coaching staff, has had, if you want to call it luck, okay, that's fine. But Puna Ford developed. Charles Omenihu developed. I think Taquan Graham is going to develop big time. And, you know, let's see what they can do. Let's see what Oscar Giles, the defensive line coach, can do with Malcolm Roach.
He's a hell of a coach. That would do it for me on defense as far as my concerns. Offensively speaking, we spoke recently with Keyonte Ingram. He's put on 15 pounds of muscle. He's got a little bit of junk in his trunk now. He's bigger. He said he was 217 when we spoke to him a week ago.
That's pretty good.
That's really good. Trey Watson is gone. Trey Watson's taking his act to the pros. You got a backfield now of basically Keyonte Ingram, Kirk Johnson, the off-injured Kirk Johnson, Daniel Young, the closer. And then an electric freshman by the name of Jordan Whittington, and they can't quit talking about Jordan Whittington. I'm not by myself when I think he is the number two back, and he's going to get 10 to 12 touches a game as a freshman.
You know, a long time ago, I learned to stop buying into the Kool-Aid. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. You know, don't buy into their hype.
Mm-hmm.
But damn.
But you've seen him.
But their hype on Whittington's real.
It is real, and I've seen him too. And there's one thing that you can't coach against. Either you're fast or you're not.
Right.
And that guy is fast. When you got guys like Jeffrey McCulloch, who's not slow, going, boy, we spent way too much time trying to chase him down on breakaways.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing about Keyonte that kind of surprised me last year, and I know that he was banged up a lot of the year. The knee wasn't 100%, but you didn't see that electric breakaway speed that we saw from somebody like Jamal Charles in his freshman year. Jamal Charles, if he got loose, it was a wrap his freshman year. Keyonte got loose a couple of times, but he didn't go for 50. He didn't take it to the house for a home run. Maybe he's a good doubles and triples hitter, which this offense needs.
They need that.
That's fine. With what they got with Sam and the receivers, if he can hit doubles and triples, they're fine with that. But I don't know. I'm not sure that he's a home run hitter. We'll see this year because he's apparently healthy for the first time in a while.
Do you remember how when we were sitting at FedEx Field and Keyonte, I don't want to say he took over that first half of the Maryland game, but he was damn impressive.
Oh, yeah.
The first half, and it's like, wow, who is this kid? Look at this kid go. And maybe it was because he was hurt, but I don't remember that aggressive, oh, my God, type of running the rest of the year, right? Now, maybe that's why Herman was constantly trying to say, well, you know, he's got to get more weight, he's got to get more in his frame. Kind of Herman took the approach of, we know what we're doing with this kid. Okay, fine. And I was on the radio every week saying, what are they doing with this kid? Why aren't they giving him more? And I think said what you're saying is right. We're going to see this season. He's added more weight, added more muscle to his frame. And then when you mix that in with another truly dynamic athlete, I think the Texas running game could be pretty good this year.
And you know, one thing that could take him to another level is the offensive line lost some guys. Patrick Vahe gone. Calvin Anderson gone. But they return a nice nucleus with Zach Shack. Kerstetter is back.
Cosme.
Samuel Cosme is back. Ooh, that dude seems nasty. We talked to him, and he's got this look in his face. And Tom even said it. Oh, he likes to go hit people. He likes to block people.
Makes him a perfect left tackle.
And Sam said to us, he goes, I don't take any crap off anybody on a football field. I was like, oh, man, I like him. I like him a lot.
And then when you add in the transfer from Georgia Tech, and then it comes down to, what is it, Okafor? I'm drawing a blank here real quick. But they've got enough guys. Rafidi Jermai is another name to keep an eye on. He is going to start the year as probably Shackelford's backup. I mean, let's be honest. Shaq doesn't have a perfect attendance record.
No, he doesn't.
When it comes to health, right? So, again, these are all good names, a good solid nucleus. I think if you ask the average Texas fan who is in the know, what do you think of the job Herb Hand has been doing with the offensive line?
Bingo.
People are going to say, hey, solid. Bingo. Solid. You know, you're right. They got a real gift in Calvin Anderson last year, but the fact that that allowed Cosme to sort of develop, and now you can dump him in at left tackle, that's pretty good.
I'm really interested to see if Cosme can handle the pass rushers of the Big 12, and they're coming. I mean, this is a league where they throw the football, and so the left tackle, he is going to be of the utmost importance. Last thing before we move to hoops, I think that just talking to Tom this spring, man, he's been loose,
yes,
and happy and just kind of giddy, still in the afterglow. Don't you get the sense that the weight was lifted? I mean, I'm surprised he just doesn't show up with a cigarette in his mouth. I mean, it just the weight has been lifted.
Hello, boys.
They won the Sugar Bowl. They're a player now on a national level.
Yeah.
He has his quarterback. This is the first year where we knew unquestionably who the starter's going to be.
Right.
No more Shane Buechele talk. I ran into Sam Ellinger.
Yeah?
At Papado's about 3 weeks ago.
Really?
And Sammy Ellinger is yoked up now. The baby fat is gone.
Has he been eating too much Papacitos and Papado's?
I don't think he has been. Okay. I think he just may have... come into his grown manness.
Okay.
At age 20. I think that Sam Ellinger looks like he's in better shape. I'm still really concerned, though. If Sam gets hurt, Casey Thompson.
Look out.
Roshan. Casey Thompson.
Here's the thing about Casey Thompson, all right? You know, let's not rewrite history or forget what happened. He wanted to go somewhere else. He wanted to look elsewhere this past December, along with a couple other quarterbacks.
He put his name in the transfer portal.
Right, the black hole that is the transfer portal.
That is the sexy term, the transfer portal.
Exactly. But, you know, talking with his dad, and I wrote about this for the start of spring football, you know, Charles Thompson told me, look, the plan has always been for Casey to potentially be number two on the pecking order after his first full year and after spring. He said that was the plan all along. And he said, and I told Casey, this is exactly where you are supposed to be, in the backup role going into what is essentially his first full year of eligibility after redshirting. Casey Thompson is in a perfect spot right now. He is in a situation as a redshirt freshman where he's not expected to be the starter. The starter here is going to play probably a lot, okay, and they're going to win a lot of games. He's going to get a lot of good experience, okay, and just, you know, the ship, hopefully, if you're a Texas fan, you hope that the ship is taking off. So to me, in the spring game, when you're coming to watch specific players, you want to watch the backup quarterback. Does he carry himself like a guy that knows what he's doing? Does he look like a guy that if you had to put him in a tough spot,
it's going
to
be okay?
He's going to be okay.
Does he look like Shane Buechele?
Exactly. Does he look like Shane Buechele? Who, let's be honest, we love him because he's a great guy and he's an awesome person, but he's a game manager.
He's a game manager.
As a player.
But which is fine if you're the backup quarterback.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that to me, not only with Casey, but that to me is the whole team on Saturday. If you're a Texas fan, what do you want to see? You think to yourself, okay, what do I really want to see Saturday? I just want Texas to pass the eye test, right? If you're a fan, that's all you want to get out of the game. Do they pass the eye test? You know, because said you and I will never forget this as long as I live, we went to that spring game going into the 2015 season.
Yes.
And that was a complete disaster.
It was horrible.
It was horrible. And so we know what a good spring game looks like and what a bad spring game looks like. And I think Texas will be just fine on Saturday.
I think they'll be just fine on Saturday because, number one, they have talent. They have a proven leader quarterback. They have a badass coach who's not afraid to roll the dice, and a coach who's just pocketed a Sugar Bowl win. That's credibility. He's a great recruiter. I think it's going to be great for the fans. I just don't want it to go to overtime. And I know that's selfish, but I just
gotta
don't
get
want
to
go to
OT. Gotta get to ludicrous. We can't
gotta
have, we can't
get
have
to
overtime.
Ludicrous. I've got.
Let's just put it this way.
I've got garden tools in different area codes. That's what he's saying.
I've seen some of his song titles, some of which we cannot say on this station here. But in fact, it's funny. I asked Drew Martin, who is Chris Del Conte's right-hand man, about, you know, tell me a little bit about Ludacris and what went into picking him. And he said, can I guarantee that he will not have 100% family-friendly lyrics? Well, maybe not. But that's why he's going on the stage at 10 o'clock on a Saturday night. So I don't expect a lot of grade schoolers to be running around the LBJ lawn at 10 o'clock.
And the game's at 6:30, right?
Right.
The game is 6:30 Saturday at DKR. It'll probably go about 90 minutes.
Probably.
So that's going to be 8 o'clock. You can get up out of there, go get you some enchiladas, go get you a couple of Preluda libations if you want to do that. And then go check out Ludacris. I mean, I think... And the other act, Alicia Alani,
yes,
is opening up. That's a friend of mine, dog.
Really?
I know her. Yeah. She used to work at Papa Do's. She did. She used to work at Papa Do's, and my cousin, Pooh Choice, and I went into Papa Do's a year or so ago. And she was our waitress, and she told us she was a singer. She gave me a business card, and she goes, I'm really starting to do some gigs. Dude, she has opened up for the Ohio Players in Austin. That's a big deal. That is one of the best 70s bands going, and they are part of our Austin 360 Radio Funk lineup.
I like that.
Of which your boy is the video, the audio voice of that radio station.
In-house plug.
Bringing
in-house
the
plug.
Soul
I like that.
Austin.
Well, let's. I did want to hit on this before we totally change sports topics, but because I'm writing about this for Friday in the Statesman and on Hook'em.com, is how Chris Del Conte and Drew Martin have. This weekend is not just something they threw together willy nilly. There was a lot of planning that has gone into what they are calling Made in Austin Weekend. And, you know, they have realized that the spring game, it's not just a game anymore.
It's an event.
It's an event. And, you know, the X's and O's is a glorified practice. But if you can get people to your campus and you make them experience it and feel, and if there is some kind of way that you can generate the feeling of a fall Saturday, you should do it. And that's what they are trying this weekend. And I tell you, whether it's rain, sleet, snow, or shine, whether it's a success or a failure, I give them a lot of credit for trying and putting this together. There's a baseball series this weekend against K-State.
Big time.
There's two soccer exhibitions. There's a fun run, a 5K and a 10K fun run. We talked about Bevo Boulevard. There's pregame, postgame concerts. The Sunday baseball game said is a bark in the park type of day.
Bring your pooch.
Right? So bring your pooch to Dishwalk Field. And I asked Drew Martin, what makes y'all want to try that? And he goes, why aren't we trying this? I'm like, exactly. Right?
I love the fact that they market this thing out of the box.
Thank you. Exactly.
CDC and Drew Martin, they're not afraid to take chances.
Exactly.
People wondered about Bevo Boulevard. Look what that thing has become. It is a nut house out
right
there. People are just stacked on top of people. They're having fun. They're laughing.
And the thing about it that is most impressive is that by October of last year, no one knew what the Sugar Bowl lied ahead was ahead. They created an experience before the team really got going. Mm-hmm. And so, to me, is why is a real tip of the cap to them. I think Bevo Boulevard is just going to be bigger and better this next season. In fact, he told me that that they have got more people or more sponsors packed into this Bevo Boulevard because everybody just wants to get on board and be a part of it.
People want a piece of it. I was at the West Virginia game last year, and some friends of mine who are from West Virginia originally that I used to work with in Tyler, they came to the game, and we traded DMs, and I met them down there, and it's Bevo Boulevard. We're right in front, and there's just all these people, all this burnt orange.
Right.
We look up, and CDC is walking down the middle in his burnt orange sports jacket.
With a cane?
Well, yeah. Just
top hat and a cane?
Just the man. And I go, he's the guy that put this all together. And my friend Al goes, I've never seen anything like this. He goes, this is an experience. Mm-hmm. He goes, this whole thing. And Texas has, people didn't know that Texas was about to win a Sugar Bowl.
Right.
No one knew, dog. And they were out front of this thing. And now that it's caught some traction on the field, they marketed it beforehand. And now they're going to reap all the benefits because the money's going to start flowing in, and it already has.
And the one thing, too, is that if you are a season ticket holder, when you got your book this year, if you still have that book, go back and look at it because the cover of it says Celebrate Texas, and it's a giant photo of fans cheering at the Texas OU game, okay? And then if you flip through that book, mm-hmm. it's nothing but photos of Bevo Boulevard, Charles Omenihu in the stands. There's a giant fold-out poster of Bevo. And Drew Martin told me, and Crystal Conley told me this specifically, is that Celebrate Texas, Cedric, is going to be their theme for the 2019 football season, is they do not want to push, you know, Sam Ellinger or, you know, Keontae Ingram or whoever, right? They want to push the experience of coming to Texas football. And they want to really drive home in your heart of that feeling that you are supposed to have or that they want you to have when you come experience a Texas athletic event. And to me, you know, we talk about the Disney experience. That's what it is. It's that feeling that you have more than how long it take you to get through line in the Magic Kingdom.
I love what they're doing. I'm going to be there Saturday, going to probably holler at CDC and rip into his wardrobe. That's what he does when he sees me. That's our little shtick.
It's a good shtick, by the way.
It's a really good shtick. He's fun to be around. He really is. He's fun to be around. And he picks up the phone when you call.
Absolutely.
That's respect.
And he's a no-nonsense guy. That's what I love about him. He's a super fun guy, but everybody up there knows who's the boss.
And they respect him.
They do.
They not only do they like him, but they respect him. And that's a welcome change at the AD position. So let's delve into a little bit of hoops. I don't know if you heard the podcast last week, dog, but before you came in,
right,
we hit some old blue eyes, Frank Sinatra, and I'm gonna give you a little taste of that right now.
Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today. I want to be a part of it. New York, New York.
That's what we did.
Yes,
and that's what we did when you came in because you couldn't really
hear it.
We spreaded the news, and Frankie Sinatra serenaded our listenership as you call from the streets of New York. You're back now. The Longhorns did win the NIT. They did beat Lipscomb. They did win five games in a row.
How about that?
And Shaka Smart got a little bit of momentum going into next season, dog.
Well, let me preface that a little bit. What if I told you that of the last 10 NIT champions, 10, only 3 made the NCAA tournament the following year?
I believe that. But let me break this down to you.
Not trying to be negative.
No. You're not. You're just pointing out facts. That's your job, and I love that. And I saw that in your follow. I think that this team, if it's on its current arc, and let me be frank about this, they don't win the NIT without Snoop or Dylan O.
Correct.
They
no, don't. No doubt.
Those guys are gone. So you're going to need your other guys, your Matt Coleman's, your Jace Febbers's, guys of that, to step up. But I'm going to tell you why I think that they might. I think this experience showed them the work that they had to put in. They got all those extra practices. That's a big deal, BD.
It was.
To get those extra practices during this tournament run. But I do believe that this helped them. I know it helped Shaka. It kind of put them in a bunker mentality because let's keep it 100. They drew a 0.5. That's like 800,000 viewers in America. That's not a lot. That's not a lot of viewers.
It was that bad?
No, for the Lipscomb game.
Oh, for the Lipscomb game.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the NIT. People are not tuning in to that. So they kind of were on a public national stage, but the lights kind of sucked. And right. You can barely see them. Because the bright lights of the NCAAs were drowning them out. And sure. I still go to my grave saying I'd rather see them lose in the first round of the NCAAs than win the NIT.
Well, I go back to something that you said, I think it was last week or maybe 2 weeks ago, I can't remember. But I thought when you hit the nail on the head, Cedric, when you said that this team deprived the fan base of a chance to get excited. And be in the big tournament.
That's a big deal.
Put their name on the bracket. And, I think Texas can beat this team in the bracket.
I'm going to sneak them into the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
That's exciting for fans,
that is
man.
Exciting.
That's a big deal.
That is a big deal. And so, you know, you're right. To finish 16-16 was incredibly disappointing. But I've said this before. I'll say it again. I do give Shaka a ton of credit.
Me too.
That he never acted like the NIT was bigger than what it was, right? When we were... we did our final sort of exit interview, if you will, at the Marriott Marquis the day before the final game, and he goes, you know, guys, if you just think about if we hadn't come out flat against Oklahoma State, if we hadn't done this against Kansas, if we hadn't done that against Texas Tech, he goes, we're probably not having this conversation right now, meaning we wouldn't be in New York City, they wouldn't be in the NIT, and he was exactly right.
And if Snoop hadn't failed, failed his responsibilities.
Right,
failed. A Texas Longhorn
absolutely.
Student athlete.
Sure,
they win more than one out of those last five games.
Yes, they absolutely do, and they would have been in the dance.
And they get in.
Right. So all that said, when you project it out to next year, the guys that I think need to step up are not going to be the guys that a lot of people think. I think that Royce Hamm and Gerald Liddell
talk to me
are going to be. Two breakout guys next year. I mean, Jesus, Royce Hamm's block against Lipscomb.
Oh, my God.
Oh
chased
my God.
Down, went to the square to get it.
Oh, my God.
That's all effort. That's
that was
all hard.
100% effort. And Liddell had a big three. Then he had another mid-range jumper at the elbow that was big. Liddell got a lot of good run in the NIT tournament. I really think that this coach they regret not playing him more in December. It's almost like, well, we should have tested this guy out more and not conference play. That being said, you make Liddell and Hamm center, focus guys next year. You got Will Baker coming in, a 7-footer who, by all accounts, said has a better offensive game straight out of the box than Jackson Hayes did.
Jackson Hayes was dunks and putbacks.
That's all he was.
That's it.
That's all he was. And he was not the world's best rebounder.
And Jackson Hayes, injury's still out. He may. I think he's leaving.
Oh, he absolutely is leaving.
He's leaving. But if he came back, it's a different conversation altogether. Now, I'm going to say this. I don't think that they're going to put Hamm and Liddell front and center. Those guys, I don't know that those guys start. I don't know that they do, because you still got Courtney Ramey, you still got Matt Coleman, and so.
Well, I just want to say real quick, I do think that Ramey should be the face of the organization.
Don't even get it twisted. That is such a no-brainer. Right. It's not even funny. Courtney Ramey can be a star. If Courtney Ramey cleans up those, he always has one or two where
throws the popcorn guy.
What are you doing? Yeah, where was that? What was that about, Courtney? If he cleans that up, he should be the starting point guard ahead of Matt Coleman.
Absolutely, and that's what I think you do. I think you go into this next year. You say Ramey at the one, Coleman at the two one. Mm-hmm. You know, you put him at the two.
Yeah.
He kind of alternates there. Kind of what Eli Mitrulong did this year. You know, just kind of rotate in, right? You give me Will down low, Jericho at the four. So now you got to find a swing spot. Oh, that could be Royce. That could be Liddell, right?
It could be Jace.
That could be, well.
I don't mind. You know what? I don't mind Jace starting. Ghost, they are so poor at shooting the ball.
I agree.
That's the one guy on the team that can get you three or four threes in a game.
But my only thing said is that he has got to develop a mid-range game. He has got to.
And the good thing about that is that's what the offseason is for.
I agree.
He has proven that he can make threes. He took it to the rack a couple of times in the tournament and finished.
Mm-hmm.
He's showing up on defense now.
He is.
I mean, he had like six rebounds. But if he can figure out how to get into the lane and shoot, if you can figure out, it's a tough shot, a 12-foot pull-up, he's not great on the move. He is not great on the move, and he's not a playmaker on the move. He's better off as a stand-alone, catch-and-shoot guy. But if he can incorporate that, add a little bit. Magic Johnson and Larry Bird always said this, BD, you can be the best player in the league, but if you don't add something to your game every offseason, it's going to catch up to you.
Right.
And if I'm Jace, you could tell that he got better. He got a little stronger in the weight room. He got better on the boards, but he's got to add that mid-range jump shot.
Absolutely.
For those guys that chase him off that line where you can take two dribbles inside that line and pull up from 17, can you do that? If you can do that consistently, I really like their nucleus for next year.
And also, too, I will give Jace a lot of credit because this was forgotten, but he had a chance to shoot a three against Xavier, and very late in the game, very critical moment, he pump faked, went inside, took an elbow jumper. Now, granted, he missed it, but that to me wasn't the thing.
That's growth.
It's growth. It's the fact that he had confidence in himself to pass up an open three and try to get himself a slightly higher percentage shot. I think if you can develop on that, take that kernel, grow on that, Jace Febres could be a pretty good player for the Texas Longhorns.
And before we get out of here, BD, Shaka Smart.
Extension. No? We're not giving out extensions?
Been down that road. Been there, done that. Shaka should have a much more quiet offseason.
He should.
This shouldn't be a turbulent offseason for Shaka. The season was turbulent because they didn't make it into the NCAAs, but they showed a little bit of success. They win a postseason tournament, and they finished the season on a roll.
Absolutely, and the thing about it is that Chris Del Conte, only sort of confirmed what we'd been hearing behind the scenes all through March. He was not going to make it. He's not going to make a change.
$13 million.
Not going to do it.
No.
The thing about it is that everyone agrees that 16-16 doesn't get it done. Everyone here agrees that Texas should not be in the NIT, okay?
No.
So there should be zero doubt about the expectations for next season. I would argue that just making the NCAAs may not be good enough.
They got to win a couple games, one or two. Win a game, you brought hope back by winning the NIT. But if you just go in the NCAAs and you get your doors blown off in the first game, then he's right back where he started.
Right.
And maybe they will cut a check for $10 million to get him out of there. I hope we're not having that conversation. I enjoy being around Shaka. I think his kids love him. I don't think they fear him. And sometimes
I agree with
sometimes
that.
Fear is a better motivator than being classy and nice like Shaka is. Different ways to skin a cat. Tony Dungy won a Super Bowl. Nice guy. Bill Belichick, not so nice. 1-6. So I think that he probably has a look at himself as a coach in the offseason. Look at what he's doing with his staff. I wouldn't be surprised if there were changes on this staff. Reports of Jay Lucas leaving already. I wouldn't be surprised if there was another assistant coach that parted ways. I think that he needs a more offensive-minded head coach, because too often they got stuck in sets that were so easily figured out. And the last thing you want to see is Matt Coleman dribbling around 25 feet from the bucket with 3 seconds on the shot clock.
Right. Well, that's just it. I mean, I've said this for most of the season. I'll continue to say it. They need an offensive coordinator.
Absolutely.
Essentially, that's what they need. They need an offensive coordinator who can recruit Houston.
They need a Tim Beck.
And Dallas. Yeah, they need a Tim Beck. Exactly. Exactly. They need someone who can recruit Houston and Dallas and who can draw up simple plays. Because in college basketball, the idea of offensive concepts, that doesn't work. Mm-mm. In college basketball, you have to tell the guys, look, you stand here, shoot down here, screen this, and move to this point. Point X. You don't do this thing, well, let's get him the ball and clear out some space. Look, that's what you do when you're James Harden. Okay, that's what those guys do.
ISO ball is big in the NBA, not so much in college.
It doesn't work in college because the players aren't good enough. Mm-mm. That's the bottom line. They're not good enough, and Texas's players aren't. So you know they've got to get back to more pure offensive plays where if Shaka holds up, you know, a two, that they know, okay, we got to run this play, right? So. I think that was big. You know, the thing about it is we've said it all season long, and I'm going to continue to say it next season. It is not about athleticism. They have got enough athletes and enough athleticism to win games and be competitive in the Big 12. It is everything that goes on between their ears.
And
that makes the difference.
That makes a lot of sense. And that includes the coach.
That includes
not
the
just
coach.
The players. Shaka,
yes, that includes
has
the
to
coach.
Be a better in-game adjuster. And we mentioned Liddell and Ham. I think the one thing that was missing more than anything on this team this season, and I know people hate to hear the Havoc card, but Ham and Liddell are the Havoc types that
absolutely.
Shaka made his bones. He made his beans. On guys like this, what those guys were able to get him at VCU were cheap points, layups, turnovers, dunks. They need more cheap points. I just don't think they're good enough to bring the ball down and set up
in a half-court set
and beat a team with jump shots and scoring. I think that they need more layups and more dunks in transition off of turnovers. And from what we saw in the NIT, those guys like Liddell and Ham help create that.
Absolutely. You know, you look at what the reason why Texas Tech, I think, did not beat Virginia is that they didn't get enough turnovers where they could get those easy points. That's where Tech made their bones this year was
that's how they won a Big 12.
Exactly. They were a boa constrictor on defense, and they turned all the gimmies into free buckets the other way. Well, Virginia didn't give those up.
They had to work for their buckets.
They did. And
Jared Culver just didn't. Why are you taking a three at the end of that game when you've gone to the rack two or three times and you've gotten the ball to go down? Now all of a sudden you're shooting from 25. That hero ball killed him. If your name's not Mooney, dog, don't be shooting that three, because Mooney was butter.
He was. I've already seen a couple of preseason, you know, the obligatory next preseason top 10 out there. Texas Tech is nowhere on those lists, which is shocking to me.
You're losing some guys.
You're going to lose some key guys. But you know what? Every team's going to lose guys. College basketball is all about turnover. It would not shock me, said, if Kansas continues its fall back to earth, you know, with everything that's going on there, especially with the Adidas. Who knows what's next to come out of the FBI trial? I think Bill Self could use a change of scenery. That's what I think.
And if Greg Popovich steps down, it might be Bill Self in San Antonio. Who knows?
Anything could happen. I think the league is going to be wide open next year. And there's no reason why Texas can't get not only the upper half, but, you know, get in the top four, top three. Because Texas is going to be one of the rare teams that's going to have a ton of guys coming back.
Well, BD, I enjoyed it, man. Thanks for stepping in and pinch hitting for the Duck. You know, we would have got him to call in to the podcast.
Why didn't he?
And we texted him. But here's the thing about Augusta.
Yeah.
You can't carry your cell phone on the course. They do not allow that in Augusta. So he's somewhere at Amen Corner, suffering, sweating.
I know what he's
doing. With no cell phone.
I know what he's doing. He is sitting on Amen Corner, eating that pimento cheese sandwich, listening to Ludacris.
He's listening to Luda.
He is getting pumped up for Luda. And, you know, no, Kirk, that's not the guy with the giant alarm clock around his neck. It's not. It's a different guy.
It's not Flavor Flav.
It's not Flavor Flav. That's a different guy. But Luda, you know, so Kirk's going to get back and, you know, tell us to roll out and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. That would be a first. Luda is what we like to call black famous. Because there's like 25 or 35 million white people who have never heard of this guy. And some of them are going to be at the game on Saturday.
Right. Well, Tom Herman said, you know, they had to find someone that the 43-year-old suburban house dad could enjoy along with the 17-year-old from Houston and Dallas. So we'll see how this goes for the old Bevos on Saturday night.
Well, that will do it for episode 133 of On Second Thought. We've got to thank our sponsors, Hook'em.com and Bud Light. My boy Brian Davis. For Kirk Bowles and his absence, I'm Seth Golden. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com. Join Seth and Kirk every Thursday at lunch for a new episode. Archived episodes are available on iTunes and Google Android Play.